If you got your Bibles, let's jam on over to Matthew chapter 8. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your word today, and we thank you that you're a restorer and a healer, and that you mend the broken, God. And we just thank you that you have a heart for us and that you love us so much that you gave your one and only begotten Son, Lord. And we thank you for that. And we pray that you open up our eyes and our ears this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So, Matthew chapter 8, the theme of Matthew is that Jesus is the King of Kings. That's who Matthew is portraying Jesus to be, and that he's the Savior of sinners. And that's good news, because that's what you are. That's what I am. We're sinners. And guess what? Jesus loves us. And what we're seeing here is that this audience includes a bunch of religious people that Jesus is talking to, and then also a bunch of people that are just normal people like us. And what happened is Jesus is challenging the religious leaders and religious people because they had God's word, they studied it, they memorized it, they read it, they went to Bible study, all this stuff. But the problem was is they lost the heart behind God's word. And so Jesus steps up on the scene and he demonstrates the heart of God, the heart behind the message is what I'm saying. And you guys, if we just show up on Sunday morning, Wednesday night's coming up, and that's all we do is we read, we study, we memorize, and go home, we're doing it wrong. We want to know the heart of God, and we want to know Jesus in a deeper way. And so Jesus steps up on the scene, and he's given the heart behind the message. And what's going to be interesting from here is just the interaction of individuals that Jesus has with people, and how many times he's connecting with just normal people. And you would think that in the Gospel of Matthew, we would see more of Jesus' teachings instead of his interactions with people. But what we see in the Gospel of Matthew is not so much his teachings, but his interactions with individuals, with different people. And what's important about that is what we have here is more about how Jesus loved people and interacted with them than what he actually taught them. And that can be dangerous sometimes, right? Because we don't want to be that church that's like, oh, it's just all love and love and love and fellowship. We got to be rooted in God's word. So I'm not dismissing that. But what I am saying is that Jesus interacted with, in the Gospel of Matthew, we see him connecting with people more than he taught people. And it kind of goes back to that old saying that preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words, or people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care type of thing. And that's why when you read Acts chapter 1, it began when we studied Acts, all Luke started out with all, he says he began all that Jesus did and taught. Because Jesus acted out a lot more than he taught. And he just got involved with people and he loved them. And that's cool because it shows God's heart for people and his heart for you. Jesus loves you. He's got a heart for you. He's written, these gospels are written for you. And it's to paint the picture of a Savior who loves you and died for you and forgave you of all your sins. And that's what Jesus is conveying. And so we're going to look at about 12 people where Jesus stopped everything, got in their life, and changed their life. And they're ordinary people. You know, when we're saying we're going to look at like 12 people, not all today, but you might think, man, Jason, these must be very important people that Jesus stopped everything and got involved in. You know, these must be the Post Malones, the Beyoncés, the influencers, the Jake Pauls. No, these are ordinary people with extraordinary hurts in their life. That's it. They're ordinary people. And Jesus stops everything, what he's doing, and he gets involved with them. And if there's any message that you're going to take away this morning, so if you want to write something down, and like we go through this whole thing, and you're just like, I wonder what it was all about. This is what it's about, is that if there's one takeaway, it's that Jesus wants to be a part of your life. He wants to be a part of your life. That's it. He wants to connect with you guys today. He wants to intercede on your behalf. And we don't have to be extraordinary people. These are normal folks. And we're going to start in verse 3 with the first person that's ordinary, but he's got an extraordinary problem, the leper. In verse 1, are you guys all there? When he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him, and behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus put out his hand and touched him, that's crazy, saying, I'm willing, be cleansed. And immediately the leper was cleansed. And so this guy, as Jesus comes down from the Mount of Olives of teaching, he comes up to Jesus and he's got leprosy. And this is different than COVID, guys. Leprosy is another level. These people are, it's a contagious infectious disease called Hansen's disease today. Sorry, Randall. It's called Hansen's disease, and it's curable. I mean, just antibiotics now, but back in the day, if you got leprosy, you'd be eating a piece of bread, and rats would be eating a piece of your toe, and you wouldn't even know because all the feeling's dead in your feet. And it was highly contagious. And so people, whenever they would see, you can imagine if anybody ever saw a leper, they're like throwing rocks at these guys, cursing them, get out of here. It's kind of like how I feel when I go to Walmart and I hear somebody coughing up a storm the aisle I'm getting ready to walk down. The first thought should be, oh, Lord, please touch this person. They are not feeling well. My thought is, good Lord, why didn't you keep them home, Jesus? Like, are you trying, you want me sick too with these guys? And then what I'll do is if I have to go down that aisle, I'll put my shirt over my nose and I'll walk down it holding my breath because I'm smart and I know I can't breathe that air or else I'll get sick. So it looks weird. If you guys ever see it, I do it. I'm not playing. I do a lot of weird stuff. I'm very compulsive. You guys have no idea. But I do a lot of weird stuff. I don't touch any public bathroom handles. No, nothing with my hands. It's all my feet. Just a tip for you guys. It's crazy out there. But, this guy, he's got an incredible disease that's removing him from all kinds of contact. He can't go in the temple to worship. He can't be around his wife. He can't be around his kids. He can't provide for his family. He can't go into the temple because he's, according to the religious leaders, he's cursed by God. And what's Jesus do? He shows up to a guy who is supposedly cursed by God, and he goes, I'm going to touch this guy to show you he's loved by God. He's not cursed. And I think sometimes when people are going through bad things, it's easy to say, oh, man, I deserve this. God's paying me back. Sometimes Vicky gets like that if something goes wrong, and she's like, man, I wonder if I was all the way straight on taxes. And we are, by the way. Okay, just in case you're listening, IRS. And by the way, we don't call them IRS at my house. We call them SSR or something because they listen, right? So it's all about, but we sometimes it's easy. It's like, did I get that right? Is this like a consequence, Lord? Are you paying me back for something? God doesn't do that. He doesn't do that. God poured out his wrath on Jesus, not us. And so this guy, that looks cursed by everybody else is actually loved by the Lord, and the Lord's going to show it. And what's interesting about this guy, if you guys look, what did he do when he first saw Jesus? It says that he worshiped him. And I thought that was interesting because if you're this guy, you got a whole bunch of problems. And I don't know, but I think I have a guess that for most of us, we come to Jesus for a lot of different things, and bringing him straight worship is not one of them. The past bill, the problem at work, the health concern, the relationship status needs to get updated on Facebook. We come to him with this long list of things, but is the first thing worship? And what's it say that this guy did when he saw Jesus? He's outcast from his family. His family needs help. They're financially broke. They're strapped. This guy's sick. His feet are falling off. And what happens? It says that when he shows up, that he worshiped God. And that's important, you guys. We need to worship the Lord before we start bringing our requests to him. And it's easy to do. We can do it here like we did this morning, or you guys are at home, turn on K-Love or Pandora. I don't like K-Love because they just never play different songs. And I want to send them in a request and just say, hey, listen, try something different for once. But, hey, people are getting saved, so God bless them. But you know what? Bring your request. Bring your request to the Lord for sure. He cares about us. Cast those cares and concern on him. But how about we worship God, you guys? We're going to have an opportunity to do that in just a minute when we get ready to close. But to worship God and to put all this stuff aside, everything that's going on in our day, and just say, hey, we're going to worship the Lord because he's worthy of it. And this guy, he doesn't know he doesn't know a lot of things. He doesn't have that systematic theology. But he does know one thing, that Jesus is able to heal him. and that the power's there. But the question wasn't if Jesus could heal him. The question was he willing to do it? And it's kind of like us. We know a lot of powerful people, Jeff Bezos, Zuckerberg, Elon Musk, and they've got resources. But I don't think they're going to cut us a check anytime soon to help us with the remodel. They've got the means, but are they willing to do it? I don't know. I don't think so. And when this, unless you're listening, somehow God put it in their living room. I don't know, right? And but the guy's question is he willing to do it? And you know what really made me sad about that, you guys, is that this guy believed in the miraculous power of God, but he didn't realize the miraculous love of him. And there's such a big difference between knowing God's powerful and knowing that he loves you. And he loves you guys so much. And it's not a sin to believe it. And it's not a sin, and it's not dirty to count on that and trust in it. His love for you. Miraculous power, of course, but miraculous love. And Jesus, when he touches this man, he demonstrates that. Who's going to touch a leper? It's like you touching somebody that's got like a sinus infection. I mean, we're walking around hazmat suits, some of us, and we don't want to get contaminated. What's Jesus do? He says, I'm going to touch you, infectious person. And he heals this guy, and he heals him completely. And so now Jesus tells him in verse 4 to go show himself to the priest about his healing. And Jesus said to him, see that you tell no one, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift Moses commanded as a testimony to them. And so why does Jesus tell this guy to go show the priest that he's been clean? Well, one, the priests are kind of like judges. And the priest got to exonerate this guy back into society, get him back out there. He's been cleansed. And two, it was a testimony that he had been healed by God. Now, we read that. Think about it for a second. If somebody had leprosy, this guy's nose may have fallen off, his ear, his foot, his hand, his fingers. This guy's walking around rough. And he goes and shows himself to the priest, all healed up. The guy grows a nose back. He gets his foot back. Ear goes before the priest and says, I've had leprosy and now I'm healed. And this guy has a makeover, like plastic, like Joan Rivers and Dolly Parton, like makeover, plastic surgery, boom, new, healed. And the priest would have saw this and been amazed because they didn't have a case of healing of leprosy. So when he goes, what a testimony of the healing of Jesus is that when he sees this guy, he's been healed for the first time, and no case of leprosy has ever been healed, but this guy is completely healed. And he says, I'm here to give the offering for the healing that Moses required. And the priest would have been blown off that book. Like, what is the ceremony? We don't know. This hasn't happened forever. And so it was a huge testimony. And so now Jesus, after he goes to the leper's house and he heals, or after he goes to the leper, he goes to Peter's mother-in-law's house. This is the next ordinary girl with a problem that she's dealing with. And it says in verse 5, so now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him pleading with him, saying, my Lord, my servant is lying home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak the word and my servant will be healed. For I'm also a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he does. And my servant to do this and that, and he does it. This guy's got a lot of power. Have you ever met somebody that had a ton of power? Like, they say something, I mean power. They say something and man, things like a Walmart manager. They are like, I had, the TV screens right here. I go back to buy the screens into electronics, and there's two guys in the back and probably living at home, 30 something, drinks Mountain Dew and just games all the time. And they're playing on their phones. They're playing on their phones at work. And I walk up there and I'm like, I want to purchase two large screen TVs. And they're like, okay, and which ones you want? I showed them, and I said, but I want to check them out because you guys get a lot of broke stuff, and I don't want to get this over there. I set it all up. I turn this thing on. It's broke, and then there's this, we don't do that. We can't open it up. And I said, oh, you can't. And he says, no. And I said, okay, but I'm going to buy them. Just hold them here for me till tonight. I'll be back. And, oh, no, we don't do that neither. And, man, I'll tell you what, I was getting mad. And I just said, okay, just one second. I walk all the way to the customer service, and I said, I need to talk to your manager. And I get like the fourth guy down, okay? But he had some power. And I told him, I said, this is what's going on, man. I go back there. These guys are on their phone. I'm trying to make a purchase. Here's the deal. I need to save them here till tonight. He, yes, sir, yes, sir. And I was like, okay, there we go. Now we're getting somewhere. He's like, let's go. So we're walking to the back of the electronics, and I'm just feeling, man, I had to check myself because I was getting a little too puffed up because now I got the man. And he goes back there. He goes, you're going to sell them. We're going to check these TVs out. We're going to hold them here tonight. And they're like, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. And I was like, man, I wanted so bad to say, that's what I thought. That's what I thought. You can do that. You just didn't want to do it because you guys are gaming on your phone. I was so mad at these guys. But this guy, you know, the third guy down for management, probably a checker manager person or something, he goes back there and he gets it done. And this guy, the centurion, goes, I'm under the authority of Rome. And whatever I say, I got Rome backing me up. But I can tell whatever you say, you got the kingdom of God backing you up. Big difference between Rome and the kingdom of God. But you know what was cool about it? Is that the centurion recognized who Jesus was and his power. And it wasn't just that he recognized Jesus's power. It was that he recognized who Jesus was. And it says that Jesus marveled in verse 10 when he heard this. He marveled and said, those who followed, as surely I say to you, when Jesus marveled, make a note that Jesus only marveled how many times in all of Scripture? Two times. One time in Mark chapter 6 for their unbelief, and then this time in Matthew chapter 8 for this guy's huge belief. And here's the point of that, is that God honors our faith, not our works. When the faith is there, and that's good news, because if it was based on our works, would be lacking. God honors our faith. And this guy has an amazing faith when he comes to Jesus. And Jesus says, I haven't seen all this great faith even in all of Israel. Now, who's in front of Jesus? Jews and Gentiles. I haven't seen all this kind of faith even in all of Israel. Does that sound like a slap in the face to a Jew? This guy's a Gentile. It is a slap in the face. Here's this Gentile. Here's all these Jews. He's like, in the whole land of Israel, I haven't seen anybody like this guy. And so now, Jesus, in verse 11, he's really going to get the Jews riled up. He says, and I say to you that many will come from the east and the west, sit down with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, in the kingdom of heaven, but the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of the teeth. Now, really cool, something neat that we see. Jesus is getting hardcore right here. He's talking about hell. But what we see is a picture of heaven. Did you see what he said? What's he say about heaven? Because we don't have a lot of pictures of it. He says many are going to be there. That's kind of cool. There's going to be a huge party of people there. They're going to come and they're going to work or sit down. They're going to sit. That means we're going to be relaxing. We're going to be hanging out with a lot of different people, just chilling out, relaxing like a permanent vacation. I mean, Caribbean cruise ain't got nothing on this one. And then, not only are we going to be sitting down, relaxing, and hanging out, but we're going to be in good company. Isaac, Abraham, Jacob, all these guys, we're going to be hanging out with all these people. And I mean, think about hanging out with, like, who would you want to hang out with? I know Jesus, I know. But next to Jesus. Who would be the one guy you're going to be looking forward to seeing? Or girl? David? Yeah. Solomon, too. Wow. Esther. You want to hang out with them all, Eileen. I was thinking of Jonah because I just wanted to ask him about how that whole bleaching thing worked out with him in the belly. You know, because he was, I heard a story about this old lady, and she was on this flight. And she was catching this flight home, and she was doing her devotions and her Bible, and she was sitting next to this atheistic businessman. And he looks over at her, and he goes, do you believe everything you're reading in that Bible? And she goes, I sure do. And she goes, oh, you do? He goes, you do? Well, what about that one guy that was in the fish for 3 days? How's that even possible? I mean, think about it. The guy's skin's getting bleached out. This isn't even logical. And you believe that? She goes, I do. And he goes, then explain it. No one can live. She goes, you know, I'll just have to ask him when I get to heaven. And he goes, oh, so this guy's in heaven. You think he's in heaven, huh? Well, what if he's in hell? And she goes, well, you can ask him when you go there. That's the old preacher joke. Moving on. So anyways, but the point of it is, gosh, we're going to be able to hang out with people and cool people too. I mean, just all their stories and walking in faith with God and how amazing it's going to be. And Jesus says, and he makes a very clear point about the sons of the kingdom being cast out in the outer darkness. Who's that? Jews. And the thing about it is, the point is the Jews that deny Christ. But the point about it is, you guys, is that Jesus is saying there's no salvation because of association. Does that make sense? You're going to have to put your faith in Christ. Hanging out with you guys isn't going to get me to heaven. I love you guys. You're holy. You love the Lord. But I'm going to have to trust Jesus for myself. I can't hang out with you guys and get there. And so Jesus is making that point. He's like, listen, there's no salvation apart from there's no salvation apart from him. It's not by association. We can go to church, hang out with mostly Christians, listen to Caleb, but it's not going to be enough. Check out verse 13. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go your way as you have believed. It's been done for you. And his servant was healed the same hour. And all the centurion, at the same hour, he was healed, his servant. And the centurion, the only thing that this guy had going for him was that he had faith in the right place. He couldn't pay for a program. He couldn't make things happen this way for this healing, but he had faith in the loan. And it was by this man's faith in Christ. It wasn't by his works. And I want to encourage us, you know, that we come to the Lord. You don't have to get it right for God to answer your prayers. You don't have to have it all together. You don't have to work for him to listen. It's by faith, and God honors our faith and not our works. And so, you know, what's interesting is we're going to see this guy in heaven, you guys. You're going to see this guy there because of his faith in Jesus, not because of his works. And he did a lot of good things. But we're going to see him in heaven because of his faith in the Lord. So now, after the leper and the centurion servant, verse 14, Jesus is going to show up at Peter's mother-in-law's house because Jesus couch surfed. He just kind of went around and crashed out on people's couches and hung out. And Peter's mother-in-law's house was one of those places. Check out verse 14. Now, when Jesus had come to Peter's house, he saw his mother-in-law laying sick with a fever. So he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and served him. Couple fun facts for my Catholic brothers and sisters. The first pope was married. Can you believe it? And I wonder if the Catholic Church would let them men marry. There wouldn't be so much weird stuff going on. So, you know, but that's not my business. But the first pope was married. He had kids. He had a family. Peter was a married man, and that's a good thing. And so Peter, his mother-in-law, has a fever. And when we, you know, I was reading that, and I was kind of like, boo-hoo, you know, you got a fever. It's like, say, man, I paper cut my finger. It's not that big of a deal. It's going to heal up. A fever. I mean, you got guys out there that got leprosy, and their hands are falling off, and this girl's got a fever, and you're going to rush over to there and to deal with a fever. But you guys, you know, when I was praying about that, I was like, what's the point in that? And the Lord was just, I felt the Lord was just showing me that it's not about severity, but sincerity that Jesus heals. It's because he's sincere. He's got this heart for us. Again, you remember what I told you? If you get out of here and you don't take anything, it's that he loves you and he cares about you. You know, everybody's got problems, and some more severe than yours, but God doesn't see you any different than anybody else, and he gives you priority. He gives everybody priority. And so Jesus, the cool thing about it was, is that Peter invited Jesus into the house, and Jesus brings healing into the house. What's the point? Let's bring the Lord back into our house, you guys. You know, this is an election year, and it doesn't matter who's in the White House if Jesus isn't in ours. Do you know that? We need to get Jesus back into the homes of the families in America. You want to see a difference this next 4 years or whatever's going on? We need Jesus in our house. When Peter brings Jesus home, people get healed. And that's what he's saying, it's there, it's available. And we need to be praying over our country. We want to see people's lives change. We want to see people get healed. But Jesus is going to have to come home. We can't just come here, hear a message, worship the Lord, you know, go to Izzy's, and then just, you know, we're back on the wheel again. There's got to be something more. There's healing there. And so Jesus heals Peter's mother-in-law, and no matter how bad something is or how it's not, the Lord still gives us priority because he loves us. So check out verse 16. Now the word's getting out about Jesus and everybody's showing up, and we're going to get ready to close out with this. When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out spirits with a word and healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Wow, you talk about a real-life horror movie. We read so fast. What does that look like? Think about Peter's mother-in-law in the house. She gets healed, and then it starts getting dark, and then there's some guy in the window peeking in, creeping out, and his eyes look like antifreeze. That's going to be crazy. And then you look over, and there's three more of them, all missing teeth, all cracked out, looking like they're going to come in and kill somebody. And you're like, man, there's a whole bunch of these people surrounding my house, and they don't look right in the head. These people are messed up. And they're coming in, and they're pressing up against the house. And the Bible tells us that these people are possessed by the devil. I'm going to tell you something interesting about this, and this was really convicting to me, because sometimes it's hard to get to Jesus with issues that we have, with sin issues in our life. You know, we'd rather hide them or justify them, explain them. But to come with Jesus with a real issue in your life of sin can sometimes be difficult. And when I saw these guys showing up possessed to see Jesus, how hard was that for a possessed person to get there? And we can't get there right now? No one brought these people. They're possessed, and they get to Jesus. Have you ever been consumed and possessed by something that had such a hold of your life, and you got to the Lord, and you knew how hard that was? These guys are pressing into the Lord, and they're possessed, and we can't do it over some issue that we got going on in our life. This is a rebuke. And the Lord's saying, you can get there. If these guys are getting there and they don't want nothing to do with Jesus on a whole nother level, then we can get there to Jesus with any sin issue that we got. And what's Jesus do? He heals every one of them, is what the Bible says. And so in all one breath, he heals them all. And then life is restored again, those that made it to Jesus. And you guys, it's such a reminder that we need to come to the Lord just however we can get there. And so, you know, regardless of the sin, you guys, that you might be dealing with right now, don't make the mistake of so many who stay away from Jesus because of it. You don't make that mistake, because you know what? The Lord doesn't want us in that place. He loves us, and we're seeing that all through this, that we can come to the Lord with whatever we got going on, and he can handle our sin. He's not shocked by our sin. It's not like we're in something he doesn't know about, or we're struggling with something he hasn't seen before. He knows it all, and the Lord is so good. It's like whoever came to the Lord got healed. And so there's so much more. I'm just going to read this, and worship team, we're going to close out with this. Come on up. And when Jesus saw the great multitudes about him, he gave a command to depart to the other side. And a certain scribe came and said to him, Teacher, I'll follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And then another of his disciples said to him, Lord, let me first go bury my father. But Jesus said to him, follow me and let the dead bury the dead. So interesting how funny people are. You know, this one guy, he shows up and he's super energetic. Did you see him? He's like, man, Lord, I love you so much. I'm going to go out. I'm all in. You know, I want in on the cool group. I want to be capital A apostle, and I want to be in with the cool group. And I want to post this on my Facebook because everybody's going to see, and I'm in with you. Let's go. Let's go, Jesus. And Jesus saw this guy's enthusiasm. He's like, wait a second. I mean, you're like all in 100p, but the problem is I don't even have a place to put my head. Are you down for that? I mean, you want to be homeless? Is that what you're after? Like, what are you looking for? He says, foxes have holes and these birds have nests. In other words, they're in their natural habitat. They're in their natural habitat. The Son of Man is not in his natural habitat. He's not. The kingdom of God is his natural habitat. That's where he's at home. He's like, I'm not at home in this place. You're going to follow me, you're going to be like me. You're going to be out of every restaurant and every, nobody going to want to know you. And then the other guy is like hesitant to get there. He's the guy making excuses on why he can't get to Jesus. Oh, let me go and bury my dad first. Well, when's that going to be? I mean, dad's probably not even sick. His dad's probably in the corner listening to this thinking, boy, what you talking about? I ain't dying no time soon. He's like, as soon as the old man kicks it, we'll be together. And the Lord's like, listen, you need to make a decision on what you're going to hold on to and what you're willing to let go. But the one thing that we see over and over with all these individuals is that Jesus just wanted to be a part of their life. And I want you to read ahead because, man, it's going to start really getting good. Jesus getting into the storm. You guys remember when there was a storm and they were in the boat and Jesus is all crashed out sleeping and then the disciples, the apostles are all freaking out. That's next week. It's going to be so good. Read ahead. But would you guys stand with me? Let's close this morning. And we're going to take communion this morning. We're going to do the best that we can. And Brian, would you just do it all? Can you just do it all? Is that easier? Or do you want some help? Okay, we ain't got the gluten-free. Randy can help. So here. Okay, is it easier to just do it all? Okay. We're going to have tables up next week. We're not done building in here, you guys. We're just having church as quick as we can before Easter. But we're going to take communion this morning. I want to encourage you guys. What did we learn about Jesus? That he loves us. And as we take communion, it's a reminder of his death and his sacrifice on the cross. And, you know, that suffering for us, you guys. He took the punishment so we didn't have to take it. He took the wrath of God so you can walk out of here clean. We owe him. We owe him our life. We owe him everything. And so, Father, as we close out this morning, Lord, I love your word because we get to see Jesus. We get to see Christ and what breaks your heart, what you seek to do and the attitudes you had and the situations you got involved with and the people you dealt with and how you dealt with them. And, God, we see us on those pages. Father, we're all lepers. We all got that disease, that's sin, that's numbing at times, and we're just used to it and causing us so much problems, God, and we just can't get rid of it. But Lord, we can come to you and be healed. And we thank you for that. And we celebrate it this morning as we take communion. We thank you for your love for us, Lord. I pray over our church that you bless every family here today, every marriage, every child that's downstairs right now being taught the word. God, that they grow up warriors for you, strong in the faith. Lord, I just thank you and pray that you bless all those that partner in ministry to share the gospel to children and to us, Lord. Bless them, Father. Encourage them, I pray. And Lord, we just take communion this morning and with a humble heart and a thankful heart, Lord, for you. In Jesus' name.